was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 475.
What the hell was that?
The big anniversary episode.
Oh, yeah.
You start off like, hey everybody, welcome. I'm Batman.
Listen, brother. No, I'm trying to stay awake.
475, wow.
475.
Man. Not 474?
Yeah, it was last week.
Well, I mean, that shouldn't have been big. Oh, too bad Spider-Man didn't come out that
that's
week.
That's right. Yeah, Spider-Man makes 74th issues very exciting. They're $10, and then 75
but
is $6.
A legacy.
But if you think about it, that's only his 73rd issue.
Why?
Because Dan
Slott
did that.
Did 801.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did that extra issue at the end. Like just that one random issue that made no sense. So whenever Spencer started, he started at 802.
But okay.
Which was Spider-Man 1.
Which doesn't include fill-ins and things like that.
True.
I think that. Well, I don't.
Well, because Nick Spencer did some fill-ins before, so...
Yeah.
He's done 75 at this point.
Oh, and then that Sinister War miniseries and other stuff.
That doesn't count. It's not mainline. I'm sure he says it counts, but it doesn't count.
I didn't add up all his issues.
Well, Marvel doesn't do that either. Anyway...
I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Spencer.
I'm tired. This rehab is kicking my butt.
Cardiac rehab.
Cardiac rehab.
You may want to specify if people think you're a dope fiend.
Right. Well, they all assume I am. But, yes.
He doesn't just sell comic books, folks.
Yeah, no. The cardiac rehab is kicking my butt.
Buy a VCR for a nickel up in here.
Fresh off the back of the truck. So, interesting thing this weekend was the Diamond Retailer Summit. Kind of caught me off guard.
Especially because no one's using diamond anymore.
Well, yeah. But I had signed up for it just because, what the heck. And then all of a sudden, somebody's like, on Sunday, was like, so where do we find out about this? I'm like, whoa, what? And then, because I guess they'd sent an email reminder Friday that I missed.
Colin, you can't plan these things.
Yeah, but I did make it. I made it for all of Sunday and most of Monday. The only bit I had to mess was when I was at cardiac rehab. So, and that seemed to take precedence. But it was all Zoom. Yeah, it was pre-done videos and then just little Zoom meetings. Some were a little awkward where I was the only one there. And like Dark Horse was fine, but you know, there's only so much to talk about. And then there was another one where it was with a manga person. I'm just like, I got nothing for you. Sorry. But it was good seeing my friends, the people that I do know. And that's what the fun part of doing the summit is anyway, is seeing your friends. So,
did you, anytime as soon as you started talking to somebody, did you pull a Kevin Smith and was like, and I had a heart attack, so anyways.
No,
gonna...
no.
Does everybody know, like in the community, you've been out of commission?
I don't know if everybody knows, but lots of people know. Yeah, I mean, I haven't.
No, I'm sure. It's just like a sewing circle. Y'all talk.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I haven't, you know. Hey, by the way, did you know? Yeah, so.
Who's got two thumbs and had a heart attack?
This
guy right here.
Because I'm cool. But
you
yeah,
cool
nothing.
You ain't had a heart attack.
Nothing big came out of it other than Vault has. Diamond got mad at Boom because Boom did that Berserker number one where the guy had the one in a thousand and then they also made him returnable. And in order to prevent like fraud, they did strip cover returns. So, meaning people had to send every cover back to Diamond, and Diamond
someone had to count covers.
Correct. So Diamond got a little pissy about that and said, for returnability, you can either do it, you know, maximum two covers or no returnability. So in some companies had been really good about returnability, like Boom and Vault, where everything in their line had been returnable. And I guess maybe they already had the covers going and stuff, so they decided to go with the covers instead of returnability. But Vault got them to change back to returnability, which is good.
Well, okay, but like with Boom, wasn't there some deal where if you were a Boom innovator or whatever, that you could always do returnability?
Until Diamond said no.
Right, but you have a contractual agreement
with
Boom.
There's no contract.
Yeah.
So, but that apparently is back now. So, just a little respite where it wasn't. So, but that was about it. Yeah, they're really, I didn't like do the closing receptions and stuff once the last thing was over. It was like
closing remarks.
Click. Bye bye.
And DC and Marvel obviously didn't go.
Nor did Image. Yeah. I missed IDW. But I talked to pretty much everybody else. Boom, Aftershock, Vault, Dark Horse. Those are the biggies, I think. That, you know, that I like to talk to. So there was that. That's about all the news. I was looking. There's no, I couldn't find any news.
Nah, I couldn't find anything either. I mean, not that I was seriously looking.
I perused. Okay, so we did get some questions. So Zach last week had sent me the link to the article, The Oral History of the New 52. And I hadn't read it when he had sent it. I had wanted to, but I'm glad I took time. That was a big, long article. It took a while to read that.
I read that too.
Yeah, there were a lot of big words. No, there weren't. But there was a lot there.
Yeah.
Pretty much exactly how I remembered it going down. It appears like a lot of editorial interference sidetracked a lot of stuff. People wanted to do things, and the editors were like, no, you can't touch that character because we're going to use it, and then they ended up not using it and still botch it. Like, especially
Batwoman.
Paul Cornell on Demon Knights, as he wanted to do this whole thing, and all of a sudden he couldn't use any of the characters that he wanted to. But hang on, I copied. Scott Snyder had a real good quote at the end, and I thought summarized it pretty good. So the thing that I wish was different was that at the time is that I wish there was a plan. A lot of it came from, I think, the suddenness of the whole idea. I think there was an element of spontaneity to it that was exciting. There was the sense of possibility, the sense of purpose. We were going to make these characters fun and dynamic and show what we loved about them, but in ways that pushed them forward. But in the long run, I think that it hurt us not to have a blueprint that people could follow group to group, because it created these silos of creators and editors that were protective of their version of what they were building. And I remember that at the time, like, you had writers leaving books just out of frustration. Like, I remember Gail Simone was fired off Batgirl because the editor, you know, had a better idea. And it's like, better idea than Gail Simone? I'm going to say no.
Perez was only on Superman for like the first.
Yeah, but he was frustrated because they wanted him to tell the story not along Morrison, but he had no idea what Morrison was doing. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to do just like this freeform Superman story with no guidance, no nothing. And it was, you know, confusing, and it wasn't very good. And yeah, I think, and part of the problem was, like, they had an initial idea for, like, 40 books, and then it went up to 48, and then they kind of stretched it to 52, because they're like, well, we have the support to do 60 to 80 books a month, so let's go crazy. And then some of them just weren't good. And I think part of the problem, in, you know, like, at one point he said 40 would have been better, then they could have had 10 a week, and that would have been a little more sustainable. But when they had, what, 13 a week? And, you know, nobody's buying 13 books a week. You know, the first couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the first month, people tried all the ones, but...
Right, but I mean, I think that happens anyway, because it's exactly that. You're trying, you're waiting to see what was good, what wasn't good, you know. I mean, New 52 is a lot of what got me back into comics.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what was done was fun. You know, Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern I thought was a lot of fun. The fact we got a Red Lanterns book, oh, that might have been Wave 2. I don't remember if that was Wave 1 or Wave 2. But even before Charles Soule took that over, that was a fun book. what Scott Snyder did with Batman, I thought was a lot. The Court of Owls was amazing.
Animal Man.
Yeah. Little Swamp Thing. I mean, there was a lot of really good stuff out there.
Interesting, because they inside were all excited about the non-superhero stuff, like the Men of War and that kind of stuff, but they gave no support to it, and those died quickly, and those were the first ones done.
I think the DM in that story, he says that 52 is what he wanted the comics industry to be, but it turned out that's not what it is, with having like war books and romance books and westerns. That's what he like wanted, the ideal, being able to sustain that, but he couldn't. You know, you got to have your more Batmans and Supermans.
Well, they, right, but you're exactly right there. I mean, I don't know that the market would sustain a bunch of, like, Western books. Okay, you got Jonah Hex, which is kind of Western, kind of supernatural.
But again, that also needs the right creative team to tell
that. Yeah, and they had All-Star Western, and it did okay.
Yeah. There was no Sergeant Rock book. There was a
Men at War book.
Yeah. But I mean, like, there's...
But just, listening to Snyder's thing, I think I wish there had been more planning and said, okay, we're going to have these books under here. And I think, a lot of people said, was that editorial just got... a couple creators quit before their first book came out because... they'd had enough, but because it was on such a tight schedule, somebody had to fill in. Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me when they did Rebirth, and then Hitch just kind of stayed on Justice League because whatever happened fell apart. And it just sometimes making changes just because isn't a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, but...
And Snyder's not doing anything at DC now, right?
Not right now, no. He's taking a break.
Doing all this creator-owned stuff.
Yeah. Then Ibti has asked us more questions. Come on.
It's a shame you got to scroll that far just to get to the questions.
Well, no, it wasn't even scrolling. There we go. Okay. Wow, yes, it is 7 questions, but...
One question, 7 parts.
Well, no. How do you feel about Tinian leaving the Batman title? This current Fear State's kind of interesting. Joker War was not... but again, is that editorial where you need to have a new character every issue?
Yeah.
Problem and...
Well, I've been off of... I haven't been reading Batman because when you were gone, I had not been reading and I'm not caught up to read Fear State. Okay. Like, I don't want to start in the middle of it. I got to start with Alpha and read through. Although I did read that... the Secret Files this week, but I mean,
yeah, my only concern is, so it's Fear State, but then that leads into Future State. I didn't read the Future State stuff, so do I need to go back and then read that, or
because I think
is Williamson finishing up after is his story starting post Future State?
If he's smart, he's dropping Future State because it was awful.
What I think is going to happen is, like, this story is going to prevent that Future State from happening, like, you know what I mean? Like, the Future State's kind of like a what-if, kind of scenario. So, because in the Future State, they were, they were running the thing, so I'm going to assume this is going to stop them, from taking over, and then hopefully Williamson is going to be able to start fresh. Like, that's one reason why I'm kind of looking forward to him leaving, is because Williamson is taking over for him.
Well, there was somebody you're getting rid of his shitty idea.
Yeah. But I'm just really interested to see his take on, like, a solo Batman, character.
Okay, 2. Best creator run when they jumped ship. A, Byrne on Superman. B, Jurgens on Ben Reilly Spider-Man. Or C, Kirby New Gods. So I guess best creator run after they jump ship. Yeah. Okay.
Get rid of any of those.
No,
I can't really tell you the Jurgens Ben Reilly Spider-Man stuff, but the Byrne Superman stuff I think was supposed to be better than it was.
Yeah,
I guess New Gods, but even that was kind of unfinished.
I don't remember who came on Superman after John Byrne.
He went to like Wonder Woman, I think.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized John Byrne shouldn't ink himself.
Ink himself?
Yeah, there were some panels in that first Wonder Woman issue that were...
Was it the eyes?
No, it wasn't the eyes. It was just really, really bad inking.
She got one going left, one going right.
No, I never noticed that with Byrne.
Question the third.
How do you get a girl to notice you when you don't have money? I don't know. Those years are far beyond me.
Now you have money.
Well, from selling all the stuff off the back of the truck. Hey?
I need an answer, though.
Number four, better sandwich, Gyros or Sloppy Joe's? I'm going to go with Gyros.
Oh, Sloppy Joe's. It's also not school, you know, like, but if you make them, Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah.
Gabe, in your case, I'd just walk around with no pants to answer the question for. We all know.
It'd have to do with Sloppy Joe's, okay.
Well, maybe it does.
Speaking of Sloppy Joe's.
Okay, best Captain America artist. That's a toughie. I'm going to go Mike Zeck. Those Captain, at least the covers. I don't even remember if he did the insides of those books.
Yeah,
but those Captain America covers when he was doing those was like right in my wheelhouse, right when I was getting comics, and those were just super memorable.
The cover with Wolverine hitting the shield with his claws.
That might be him. I'm not sure. He did a run that was just amazing.
I'm gonna say. Steve Epting to be different though.
Okay.
Brubaker's run, that was fantastic.
Since that's the only run I've read, I'll go with that. So yeah. I really don't have an opinion.
Yeah.
Explain to your listeners why you don't have a wacky waving inflatable arm filling tube man outside your store at all times. Well, problem
that
is
a good question.
Because he's not Al Harrington.
No, the problem is I couldn't have it out at the street. Because I'm not allowed to have anything out there, and I don't really have room next to the building to put it, unless I put it on the roof, and I'm not climbing up there to turn it on and off every day. So.
And wasn't there? Didn't you have Adam out there with an inflatable Hulk at one point?
There was. Yeah, we had a Hulk out there one like Free Comic Book Day. Yeah.
We have a Hulk.
That's right.
Yeah. And then the last question is really appropriate: Crest, AM, Colgate, or other? Which tastes best?
I don't use any of those. I use Pronam.
Okay.
Because it's essential tea.
I use Colgate, but I prefer Crest. But I think Colgate was in like an 8-pack I bought long ago at Sam's Club, and I'm just still powering through.
It expired 8 years ago. He's like, I'm still good.
I have to say Crest, because I use the Crest with the Scope mouthwash in it.
And Spencer doesn't use toothbrush.
No, but okay. Dealt with in teeth.
Chase Moby Dick.
Whoa, hey. What he does on his own time. Just leave him alone.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything other? Any issues or concerns you want to bring up at the meeting?
I'm a little disappointed, though. We had all those questions, but there wasn't a, you know, somebody versus somebody, you know.
I know.
Frankenberry versus Fruit Brewer.
Yeah, I was thinking Twinkie the Kid versus King Don or something like that.
I almost thought you said King Dong, and I'm like, what the hell? No, King
Don. King Don. Yes.
Colin's a nickname in college. That's why he doesn't have a problem picking up women.
Twinkie the Kid? What?
No, I would hope that's not your... I mean, you know, to each his own, but... King of the Green
Patrick.
Yes?
What'd you read?
Okay, so I read the Batman Secret File.
I read that too. Molly. Explained a lot.
It did, but I'm more confused. Because when she was in Batman, I thought she was a teenager. I thought she was like 17, 18 years old.
Okay.
She's like 30.
Yeah, okay.
Boom, okay.
No, and the original one she didn't, but clearly she is, because like she's been married to this guy for like 5 years. Or no, she's married to this guy, but she's been working at her job for 5 years. And it seems like it was after she went to college. So, you know, she's like somewhere between, you know, 28, 30 years old. Yeah. It seemed odd. I really liked the book.
Yeah. I thought her story was really interesting.
Yeah, you know, corporate scumbag tries to screw her over when she finally is like, I'm going to take charge of my
career. Well, she worked at this computer place, and she'd had this elaborate thing for this eye and all this technology, and she couldn't get them to listen to her, and she couldn't move up in the company. So she finally presented it. They fired her, but then because of the contract, all of her ideas were theirs, and the guy's like, this is brilliant. I'm going to make millions off this. Mm-hmm. And she had been kind of... She knew about the Unsanity Collective and the guy, and she'd been, you know, leaning towards it. The husband had been pressuring her to have a kid. It was a very loveless marriage and everything, and this whole thing. And then so finally she hits this guy that's trying to steal her idea, and kills him. And so then she goes running to the Unsanity Collective.
Now that part, that felt very Matrix-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then they like wipe her memory and everything.
Follow the white rat.
Yeah, because she goes in, and this whole story is because she breaks into this house to steal something from him. It turns out it was her in-laws husband. And husband. And the husband recognizes her voice, and that's what brings the whole story about. So, but I thought it was good. I thought it was well done. I thought the art at first was really weird, but in the end, I thought it worked just fine.
Yeah, I wasn't bothered by it. Like, the first page, it was a little jarring.
Yeah.
Especially, the cover is almost anime style.
Yeah, yeah.
And not that the cover always has to match the internal, but it was jarring. The
drapes don't always match the carpet.
That's true, Colin. Sometimes you got bare wood floors, man.
Oh, hey, hey.
I'm just saying.
But, yeah, no, I thought that was good.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, you sound thrilled.
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah.
It was heartbreaking. That battle where Splinter and Donnie die, I mean, that was, you know, especially because the whole time you're like, all right, you know they're screwed.
Yeah.
And when the henchmen are like, oh no, let's just go solve this on our own. It's like, oh, come on. But you know, Splinter wasn't having it.
Yeah,
that was a certainly more aggressive Splinter than if you had only seen the movies or the TV show. That's not Splinter.
Yeah,
this is a much more aggressive version of it. I like Mikey was watching was it Casey?
Yeah.
What I forget what her name. It's Casey something.
Yeah.
It's Casey Jones and April O'Neil's daughter. Watching her fight, and he's like, yeah, you suck. And he's like teaching her because, like, he insults her, so she just keeps attacking, and wearing herself out. And he's like, oh, and now I can control you because you can't do anything. You're too tired. That's your first lesson. And he agrees to train her. I think this was intentional. Maybe I'm wrong. But it was a lot of the positioning and the way she's dressed, it reminded me a lot of like Batman and Carrie Kelly together. It just
maybe
especially like the last page, it reminded me so much of that.
Kind of, yeah, I could see that.
So I've really enjoyed the story.
Well, and it also looks like that she, since she's you know, her parents are Casey and April. We find out that since they've been hanging out with the Totals for so long, that they're getting, like...
Trace mutagen.
Yeah, and then so, since both of them had it and had her,
she has, like, extra strength and speed and can, like, heal a little bit faster and stuff now. So that was kind of, like, an interesting little thing there.
Yeah. Marjorie Finnegan, temporal criminal. Anybody else reading that?
I read it.
Okay. That was pretty good. I liked the dude telling the story about how when he was, as soon as sperm hit egg, he had full adult consciousness. But he was a twin. His mother tried a coat hanger abortion, and he threw the twin in the way. And I guess she didn't know she was pregnant with twins. And then when he pops out, he immediately starts threatening her.
Yeah.
And of course, no one believes her that an infant, literally, you know, seconds old, is talking to her. And then what he thinks he can do, like, he tries to invent a way to push time through himself so that his body can catch up to his mind. But instead, he invents time travel.
Yeah.
He's still a scumbag, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's...
Yeah, because the only reason he wants to try to do that is just so, like... Because he wants to get laid and, you know, get alcohol and, you know, and do all that kind of adult stuff.
Well, and his plan at the end is, like, he wants to go back to be God.
Yeah. Well, then, too, the Yosa, because, like, he was, like... So he put him in an orphanage and, like, he just slowly, like, murdered the kids that did it. Like,
yeah, he burned the orphanage down. He
pushed one into like a zoo exhibit.
Yeah, into the tiger exhibit. The lady that was like the cafeteria worker, I guess ground her up, put her in the chili, and then had like one of a giant wrecking ball drop on another kid because he was holding some girl's hand that he liked. That's pretty messed up. It's a fun book. And the last one I read was Moon Knight number 3.
I read that too.
Okay. I must have missed something. Like, what's up with Anti-Moon Knight? And it's
she's the sister of Moon Knight's brother. Oh, sorry.
I think it's just, I don't... This guy...
You got it.
I got it.
I think it's supposed to be, like, just, like, he's being empowered by some other god, or...
No, because he's still saying it's Khonshu.
I mean, wasn't he the first? Wasn't he supposed to be, like, the first?
That could be. See, and the problem is, because it's Moon Knight, the whole time I'm like, is this really even happening?
Yeah.
Is this in his head? Is this another persona that we don't know about? His costume is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and too, because even in this issue, he's talking to a therapist.
Yeah, in his Mr. Knight costume, which, again, I love. And it was talk about vampires in it, so it slid more to the supernatural side. But that's the problem with Moon Knight, is you don't know what's really happening and what's just in his head.
Yeah, especially anything following the... Jeff Lemire run, whenever that went, like, crazy bonkers, like, you know, and it seemed like ever since that, it's been kind of hard to take Moon Knight kind of back to, like, a level, like, ground, like, a street level, like, you know, hero again.
Yeah.
Which is not saying good or bad, but, you know, they kind of, some people can or can't pull that off.
I did like, there was a comment in there, I didn't think you had very many, you know, villains.
Clicky-clicky.
He's like, yeah, I don't, because back in my earlier days, I just took care of them.
Yeah, because he just murdered everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying it, but
yeah,
I was lost. I was like, wait, what the hell? Is this really going on? Am I missing something? But it doesn't sound like you knew any more than I did about that.
No. Maybe we're not supposed to at the... Because it seems like something that he doesn't know. So maybe, you know, here in future issues where, you know, they'll kind of unravel that a little bit more, maybe.
Yeah. All right, that's all I read. Who wants to go next?
Anything else, Dave? Spencer? Dave, okay.
I'll go. Start with X-Men.
I read that.
Yeah, I
number three. I don't think we've talked about this new X-Men book yet.
No, because I think somebody had an issue, and we, for the past couple of issues,
yeah,
it had it.
Man.
I'm coming, Elizabeth. This is a big one.
We could talk about it now. The team has their headquarters in New York City now, with the treehouse.
Yeah.
They have this.
This was the one with the fight with the Avenger, or not? Yeah. Okay.
This is they're in Vietnam with a high evolutionary.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Touches down.
It's all blurry.
And he brings. I guess he wants to congratulate them on the X-Men on Araco. And he brings these Nihility spheres that will sterilize the human population. To lessen the damage done to the Earth. And
right, because of global warming and climate change and all that.
But the X-Men refuse that, and they get into a battle.
Right, because Rogue had experience with them and was like, screw you, and hits him.
Yeah.
And she's like, they're powered, so you don't have to hold back, guys. But one of the people was his daughter.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, just a lot of stuff going on, especially with Sync changing powers. And that became one of the big focal points, was near the end he swiped his daughter's powers and was going to use them against the high evolutionaries. Like, oh yeah, well, you know what, I can turn your powers off, and clicks. And so they end up winning, but kind of like, okay, we'll leave you be, but everybody knows they're not going to.
They give him a drop of Sync's blood.
That's all he wanted. But it was interesting, a little, as they were going away, I think it was Rogue said, how does it feel knowing that he can just turn off your powers?
And yeah.
She had a little face like, but that was interesting.
There's also a subplot with Ben Urich doing the deal with Bugle investigating.
Right, finding out about the
resurrection process.
Yeah.
I was thinking Trial of Magneto with X-Men were fighting the Avengers type of thing.
I wonder who the person blurring. Given the information is. I wonder who that is.
Yeah, Dr. Stasis.
Some new made-up guy.
I can't keep track of everybody who he's from. Next, Fantastic Four.
Right, that?
Week after the 60th anniversary issue.
Yeah, well, you know.
This is the all Johnny issue, dealing with his not being able to flame off after being zapped by Dr. Doom. So they're trying to. He can't eat. He's incinerating everything.
Yeah.
The burger Herbie gives him, and the only one who could be around him is Ben.
But he even still has to have like a helmet and like some kind of
Yeah.
And then he even says that he can feel it still, but he's able to withstand it, better than the others.
So the only thing that doesn't burn is his soul band from Sky. So Reed calls Sky for help, but it turns out she's, like, feeling everything Johnny's feeling. So she's, mutated.
Yeah, so whenever Doom hit him with that beam that, changed his powers, her powers get changed too. Now she instead of just having wings, she also had I don't think she had a beak, but she had like talon hands and more feathers coming off of her face and just more bird like features too. So she got affected by it as well.
Yeah. So she takes the soul band off Johnny
because the only person that's able to remove it. Is either the person's soulmate or something like that.
Right. And she wants to go, she tells Sue she wants to go back to her home planet.
Yeah.
So, it was good. I mean, John, it's like, Johnny feeling how Ben has felt you know, his entire life and not being able to interact with people. And he's like down in, Reed made like a place for him to stay in the sub basement.
Yeah, it's like in the sub basement.
One of the lowest sub basements of the Baxter building. I read this new book from Action Lab. It's called The Citizen.
Okay.
I read the synopsis and preview, so I was like, okay, this sounds different. I'm going to give this a try. Since it's such a small publisher. But it's about this guy, Norman. He's a newspaper reporter, and he's the only person in the city without superpowers. Everyone else is either a hero or a villain. And it's mostly played for laughs, because, like, on the first page, Norman's in his office with other people, and he hears a cry for help that a bank's being robbed. And the two people, you know, at the desk next to him, they get up and they make excuses, you know, of like to go to the bathroom or whatever while they're opening their shirts, you know, to show their superhero contest. Even though everybody's superhero, nobody wants each other to know that they're superheroes. It was funny. That part was funny. And then we meet some of the other heroes, like this Poetic Justice, this young girl who's like constantly hanging around Norman because the heroes feel that, you know, Norman's, he's a mark for like villains, so they feel a need to protect him all the time.
Okay.
And there's another guy, the Human Vine, and then we meet Norman's roommate is Stonehenge, and he kind of has like his arms look like the Thing's arms.
Okay.
It's interesting. We'll see where it goes. I want to see if, like, if there's more to this, you know, than just playing it for laughs. If the writer digs a little deeper into the characters, but a lot of the jokes hit in the first issue, so it was pretty good. And Black Hammer Visions, number 8. This is written by Scott Snyder and art by David Rubin, and this introduces a new hero called the Horseless Rider. This story was really good. Start 1955 at this old folks' home where the orderly is stealing from the patients as they die. And then it goes to the other story. It was late, like 1880s, and we meet a thief who also steals from the dead. And he comes across a funeral procession, and he steals the casket. And it's a gold casket, and inside there's gold bullets and gold revolvers. And he's like, he thinks he hit the jackpot. So he takes, and he puts the revolvers, you know, on his person. And all of a sudden, these ghosts start to haunt him of the people he's offended throughout his life. And now he's the Horseless Rider. And he has to protect people instead of stealing from them. And I'm not going to give away the ending, because it's a really cool ending of how these two stories connect, of the orderly and the guy who the orderly is supposed to be serving.
Okay.
But it's really surprising and satisfying the way those two connect. And hopefully we see more of this character, the Horseless Rider. And that's all I got.
So you said, Pat, you said you're not caught up on the actual Batman yet?
No, you can talk about it.
Nothing really.
I thought this was a real good episode. A lot of stuff kind of came together and explained everybody's plot point, you know, what they were trying to accomplish.
More
and
of it just coming together, like you were saying. Yeah. So,
I will read it. It's just I got to start at Fear State.
Yeah,
and
but I thought this issue was good.
As I said, I've been saying previously, like, now that the actual Fear State, like, storyline has started, I've liked the title a little bit better now that they're kind of getting into it after all that lead up. But then I read Nightwing, Which it looks like it's going to be, you know, you loosely tied into the Phil State for the next few minutes. But it's opens up with Nightwing, you know, just sitting on top of, you know, a very high building, eating some pizza, thinking about, you know, how, because in the previous issue he, you know, had the press, you know, release about, you know, how he's going to help with the homeless and, you know, and all that stuff like that. And just him kind of thinking about having to do that stuff. And he, like, swings home and he gets a message from Oracle saying that, like, hey, you know, Batman needs help in Gotham. Can you, you know, get here as soon as you can and stuff like that. So he goes and he drops the Harley, the new pup, off at a Gore's house. I can't remember who he said. I can't remember if it was the new sister. I can't remember what her name was from the previous issue. But it's only like in, it's not even like a whole page worth of thing. But so he dropped the pup off and he's off on his way to Gotham. And he goes to where Oracle told him to meet, and it ends up being a trap because the magistrate has hacked the Oracle line and lured him in there for the trap. So Nightwing is fighting all of these different peacemakers and stuff, and then Batman ends up showing up, and they automatically kind of go into old, like, Batman and Robin mode with, like, protocol, da-da-da-da, and, you know,
see Tim.
And they're just, you know, just with saying that, they have, like, the next, you know, ever moves, like, set out in motion and stuff like that. There was a couple pretty cool fight scenes. And they eventually escape down into the sewer. And then, so they're talking, and, so, you know, Nightwing's like, well, whatever you need me to do, just tell me, point me in the direction, tell me what you need done to do to help, you know. So it was, I think it was something to, like, going and trying to shut down who's ever is hacking the Oracle, because not only is it messing with, like, their communication, but they're also using the Oracle to hack all, like, everybody's computers and TVs and radio, and they're giving out, like, false things of, like, you know, like, Joker's blowing this up, or, so, you know, just, you know, trying to, you know, scare people and stuff like that. So that's his job is to go and try to stop that, and Barbara ends up deciding to tie a tag along, and she gets back into the Batgirl suit at the end of the issue, and they're getting ready to go figure out what's going on with that stuff. The Flash. So this issue, it's supposed to be Wally and his daughter Iris's first daddy-daughter dance, like, out of school. So where they're driving there, there's, like, this weird pink smoke everywhere, and Wally at first just thinks it's, like, a lot of fog coming out of nowhere and stuff like that. And it turns out that this guy who used to work at the science lab thing that Wally's working out now, that Mr. Terrific is running, he had a thing about wanting to, like siphons people's, like, nightmares for or something like that. And so they didn't let him, they stopped him from doing that. So he ran on his own. He's able to, with this gas that he creates, is able to knock people out and then also take their, like, nightmares out of their dreams and create them in, like, real life. And they're not affected by it. Or they are affected by it, but they don't go to sleep. because of their like super speed, but they're also not able to access the Speed Force. Like it slows them down enough that they can't actually do it, but they don't fall asleep. So they have to come up with a creative way together to fight this guy. And it was just like a lot of cool kind of like father-daughter moments, and just like it, between the two of them, and like her trying to say like condensation, and her like missaying it, like, you know, like you like a normal kid would say it, and he'd be like, and he would correct her, and she's like, that's what I said, and just like kind of cool moments and stuff like that. And so they're able to stop him, but then like she's kind of upset because you know, they were supposed to be, you know, they missed their first dance and stuff because everybody else was still knocked out. But once they was able to take care of them, they were able to start to use their powers again. So like they ran, assured them, like they ran off to like Paris real quick and like danced and like had a daddy daughter dance in front of like the Eiffel Tower and stuff like that. They said just that this is a kind of nice kind of one issue thing just between, you know, him and the kid, what I thought was pretty cool. And then, Dave, are you reading Radiant Black, Dave?
Yeah.
Did you read this this newest issue?
I don't think I got through the whole thing. I put it down. Go ahead.
Well, it's just more of the group, the different groups of the Radiants, like figuring out the small stuff that they can do, and they have like a bigger fight scene with that guy who's trying to kill them, and like you kind of find out that now that they, because like, you know, they, that these guys didn't know what they're doing, now that they have like these powers, it seems like something's is now gonna come to Earth now, and like kind of destroy the Earth, and it's gonna be their fault. So like, you're still trying to, they're still unraveling some of the stuff. But I thought it was pretty cool.
And they're separated on different parts of the Earth. Is that right?
There were two, like the two, like the friend of the main guy at the beginning, and another girl. Like, yeah, they were over, I think they got teleported to like Japan.
Yeah.
But the other ones were like, I think in Russia somewhere.
Russia.
But
that's right.
I think they eventually end up coming back together by the end of this issue, if I remember correctly. Okay. But that was the last thing I had to read.
That's it. Okay, I had two more. I can't believe nobody read this. The Suicide Squad King Shark.
You were sold out
mini.
Last week.
Was I? Oh, maybe I had the last one. Okay, maybe I had the last
one.
Well,
no, there is one on the shelf now.
Oh, so maybe I put it back. Oh, because we had pulled it for everybody that gets Suicide Squad. But I didn't exactly order a ton because,
because it's King Shark.
Exactly. So basically it starts.
But Colin, it's King Shark.
I know. But it starts with the Defacer, who's Nightwing's girlfriend, defacing a statue of Nightwing, saying, Nightwing, you're a. And then an arrow going around to the front of the statue where she had written Rick.
Oh, Richard.
But then she goes to jail and is recruited by Waller, because for some reason she was getting attacked by somebody and King Shark ate them. And even though he was told not to eat the other inmates, showed they had some sort of bond. So she sent him along, and King Shark is in a contest by the, like, his dad is like god of the sharks, and they have to have a competition amongst all the creatures to see who's the most powerful. So that's the whole setup. And then the last one I read was He Who Fights Monsters is a new one from Ablaze, which is it's like a European book that they're serializing. It's set in World War II, and the Jews are hiding, and of course, and there's a soldier walking along, and there's this old man. He's like, come, I want to show you this play, and he's showing him a puppet story, and giving a backstory about how this great rabbi created a golem to fight monsters, But then, it should have been two issues in one for the first one, because there wasn't enough in this issue. It doesn't even explain it. There's nobody that is fighting monsters. There's no he of the title introduced yet. So, not bad, but you just needed a little bit more. I find that with a lot of books nowadays. They just need a little bit more. So I realize I forgot part of Zach's question, where he'd asked about that article, but he also asked about IDW is switching to Penguin Random House come June. So not a big deal yet. I talked to Dark Horse about it a little bit when I was talking to them. I said, just hold on. Penguin hasn't shipped a single comic yet.
Yeah.
Don't go jumping in bed yet. I said, you know, my damages with the graphic novels have been not good. So let's see how this goes first before I jump in. They also lost the kid licenses from Marvel, so they're not going to be doing the Marvel books anymore. But I think
like all the Star Wars adventures, and all those.
I think that has more to do with Marvel's deal with Scholastic. Challengers podcast mentioned that, and I'm like, you know, that makes sense. That they'd want to have all that stuff for Scholastic and not IDW.
Yeah, but so. Scholastic's not going to put out weekly or monthly books.
Or they might just do the small graphic novels through the book sales. Yeah, okay. I don't know. But maybe Marvel wanted it back in-house.
Hmm.
Wanted control over it. So
I don't know. That to me seems odd.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see. So, Pat.
Colin, what's coming out next?
We have some stuff. I won't be able to tell you everything that's coming out. So I'm keeping some of it.
It
is secret. But from DC, we have their Halloween book, Are You Afraid of Darkseid? We have Batman 114, part of Fear State. The DC part of previews is coming next week, because I literally forgot to order them, so they're coming. It's just, the Marvel ones come automatically, and actually now I'm getting double, because I'm getting my order from Penguin and from Diamond. So I'm getting way more than I need. DC Horror presents Soul Plumber number one. I don't know what this is. Nice House on the Lake is number 5. One more until the break. And then we're getting the Wonder Woman 80th Anniversary 100-page Super Spectacular. That I could have sworn we already got a Wonder Woman special like this. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's all a blur to me. And then from Diamond, we're getting Archie's Halloween Spectacular, Dave.
Ooh.
Chicken Wait, Devil.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We're getting Archie's Halloween Spectacular. But Sabrina's not shipping until November 1st.
Correct.
Yeah, that's not a missed opportunity.
Yeah, no. We're getting Chicken Devil. That's a new one from Aftershock. Cimmerian from Ablaze, Beyond the Black River is their next one in that line. We're getting Darkhold Alpha, which is fun because we got half the variants this week, and then we're getting the main book and the other variant next week. Dirtbag Rapture, because that sounds like fun. Jennifer Blood, this is picking up. Garth Ennis did the series at Dynamite where it's just like a humble housewife becomes a hit lady.
Okay.
So they're jumping back on that. Menagerie, I don't know what it is, but it sounds fun. Out is a new one from AWA.
It's like Nazis.
Yeah, where they get a vampire and try to weaponize it, yeah. Righteous Thirst for Vengeance is a new one from Image. It's like, that's a fun title. Star Wars Adventures Ghost of Vader's Castle, number 3. That's a weekly one. And that's it. Now, sadly, I do not know what's coming from Marvel, because we do not have an invoice from Penguin Random House. So, I'm sure I'll know by next week, but right now, I got nothing.
Books,
yeah. Something's coming. So, hopefully it goes smoothly. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of faith, but we'll see how that goes. So, that's all I got. I am going to be trying this last quarter, October, November, December, try to be doing a lot more social media stuff and website stuff. I always have that goal, but that's going to be something I'm going to focus on, just informational type stuff. Getting that out there. Fun stuff, too. We got some fun back issues in.
Well, so you have been doing a better job of posting things whenever you find, like, you
That's
know,
actually Pat. I got Pat writes to...
Well, it doesn't matter who's doing it, as
yeah,
long as it's getting
yeah.
done, right?
But this one came in, and I got to get it posted, because I thought it was very funny. Dave, I'm going to show it to you. I hope you're not offended. More stuff like that. More informational stuff, like I'll find a back issue and give you some backstory on it, things like that. It's something I've been wanting to do. I just time. But that came in a collection. I will describe it after the boys see it.
Oh, yeah.
But as always, the website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So keep an eye out there. I'll try to get some stuff coming in. But I got some old Archies came in, and I'm like, I wonder. And I flipped through, and the issue of Betty and Me was in there where the dialogue is, Archie, did you have any trouble rescuing me? And he says, I sure did, Betty. I had to beat off three other guys. So this is a valuable book because of it's a risque cover now. It's like, okay. So I don't know what kind of smut you're reading, Dave. But
made me the man I am today, Colin.
Wow.
So. You beat all three guys.
Wait, wait. So
that's how you find a chick without having any money.
Dave, say it.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See ya.